Force on Force features the largest and strongest outdoor military organization in the country. These are the men and women who make it possible to enjoy the freedom to hunt and fish. It is with great pride that we bring you Force on Force podcast, coming to you from the Force on Force Talk.
Hey, welcome to the Force on Force Talk. Love having you guys on this journey that we're going on. I'm your host, Sean Dalrymple, guys, and you know, we always start in the Force on Force Talk. If you guys don't know what the Force on Force Talk is, every military operation starts in the talk. It's a tactical operations center. And all our TV shows start in the talk, where it's the buck, the bass, the redfish, and our hog show that's going to be coming up real soon. It'll start in the talk. You know, it's really the command center of everything we do, whether it's a fixed talk, a mobile talk. But we're always in the talk. I got my partner in crime on the redfish with me, Danny Jackson. You know, we're back to talk. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about the championship episode from Army Redfish. So good to have you on, Danny.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
Before we do that, we've had a busy weekend for us. You know, we were up in Indianapolis with the bass and the buck side doing our expo schedule. And where were you guys at this week? I know you guys were at somewhere.
Yeah, we were down in South Texas, Donna, Texas, at the Ron Hoover Boat Show, supporting those guys. And then, of course, had the booth up to help raise more funds for our nonprofits.
You know, that's always a big part of what we do. And it's really cool because we get out and it's a time for us to kind of meet the fans and kind of support the nonprofits and to raise money and awareness. And it goes a long way. You know, I kind of talked about this, as you start doing more and more of those, this will be the opportunity that you'll have people come up and be like, hey, I watched the show and things like that. And it'll start kind of happening from there. And so,
already happened. It happened at Donna.
So let me ask you, how was that? Was it kind of a little bit kind of surreal moment for you?
Yeah, it's just different, but it's good to know that our coastal people up and down Texas coast, they're watching the show. So obviously if they're watching the show, they're seeing us out, not just in Corpus, but up and down the coast. It's A, spreading our mission, but B, it's obviously helping the show ratings too. So that's always a big important piece of it.
It is. It was just always really humbling for you once it kind of takes place. So it's kind of cool to do that. So, you know, the February, March, April really starts our heavy show season for all our brands. And so we're out there doing expos. But what we're really here to talk about this week is the championship. You know, the championship episodes aired last week, and we're going to have the first ever Army Redfish guys on with us to talk about that. And I think that's really cool because, I mean, I know that to be the first to ever do something is really cool. You know, we had Chuck Guthrie on the bass side, you know, Randy Garner on the buck side. We're going to have a first ever haul guy. I got to be the first ever two-time champion on the bass side. I know how cool that was just to have your name permanently attached to that. And so it's really, really cool to have that, you know, part of your life to be like, I did something before anybody else did. So Danny, why don't you kind of set this up as we bring, you know, Rick and Mino on and kind of talk through this piece.
Yeah. So if you've watched the show, obviously, you know who won at this point. The setup of the show, obviously extremely stressful, as we mentioned in the last episode or the last podcast. These guys had to fish a lot. And again, if you watch the show, you know why. We were missing two boats within the field. So that gave the guys that, you know, went out the first round another shot at it. And these guys that ended up winning it, they took that second shot and they ran with it. So we'll bring on Amino Lescano and Rick Brinza, the champions of season one, Force on Force, Army Redfish Anglers. How's it going, guys?
Hey, how you doing, Danny? Sean, how's it going?
It's good, guys. Hey guys, welcome. Congratulations, first off. It's awesome to have you guys part of the Force on Force Talk podcast. I mean, I know, Mino, you're smiling, you know, ear to ear. It's pretty cool to be able to finally tell the world, isn't it?
It is. It was so hard to not say anything. You know, obviously, we know what happened, but I mean, just knowing that you cannot say anything was just hard. You know, Rick and I were texting each other all the time, every episode. Not yet, not yet. We got to wait one more episode, next episode. You know? And so it's surreal. It's just, again, like you said, being the first winners of it. And it's, no one's going to be above that name. No one's going to beat that. We were first. And so it's still a lot. And it's still, every time I watch it, I've watched it 12 times since it aired on Wednesday.
Of course you did. So I can't remember how many, like, I believe it was four rounds that you guys fished, right?
Yes, four
rounds. You guys had to fish every single round to include the championship, which led you to four. So let's do this. Let's break it out. Let's, because I'm really curious to see what Rick has to say about the championship round. So Mino, I want you to cover round one and three, and then we'll let Rick cover two and four. So start with one, and we'll just kind of bounce back and forth and tell us how each round went, what was going through your heads in each round. Because Mino, you fished with me in the past during in the PRL, Professional Redfish League, and you know how different people take stress. You dang sure know how I take stress. I was throwing crap all over the boat whenever I miss a fish. I lose it sometimes, but it's just the competitive nature in all of us. And I'm sure there was some of that that just wasn't shown, but let's go through it round by round and see, let everybody know how everything went.
Yeah. So episode round, we went out first round. You know, it was kind of really last minute, like game time decision where we were going. I know Rick had an issue with that because we're like, where are we going? I said, man, I know where I want to go, but I don't think we have enough time to get there and back. And if the fish aren't biting, you know, so we went ahead and played it safe and fished on what we call the big flat, and you know, just grinded, and Rick put one on the board and I had one and ended up losing it. I think lost another one. I was watching the episode. Everything's a blur. Like I said, it happened and everything. We were tired, and so I mean, we just gave it all we could, but we had a plan, like, hey, let's just find where the fish are. The wind was not helping, the water was dirty. I mean, so everything that Danny and I have, you know, we sight cast, not happening that day. So it was just coming to just blind casting the whole time. It was difficult, you know. Like I said, thankfully Rick put one in the bucket, and man, that helped us. That second fish would have definitely moved us in the next round, and I'd have to fish a lot more than the other teams. So, you know, but hey, we look at it back, and I tell Rick, I'm like, hey, we went from worst to first, man. I mean, we lost, you know, and stuck around, came back and won the whole thing. So yeah, round one was okay. We were just getting used to fishing together. We really didn't know styles and what was going on. And so we were just, it was brand new. And so you kind of see a little bit of that on the show, but yeah, they cut a lot of stuff out. So it was intense. I had fun. Rick, man, he pulled it through, and that's what helped us get that one fish in that day. So we didn't come in with a goose egg. That was round one.
So let me ask this question. So do you wish you had gone with your instinct and made the long run in that first round?
You know, I talked to one of the other teams afterward. They went somewhere down there and they saw the fish, just couldn't get them to eat. So I'm glad that I didn't, because they obviously had the faster boat. So they were able to get down there and back, and to find out that, hey, the fish weren't eating, was, you know, kind of made it worthwhile. Said, okay, well, we made a good choice. And so that kind of helped us throughout the tournament. Like, okay, we're not going to count on those fish down south, because it's a good 45 minute ride down there. And you know, it was a gamble that I'm glad we didn't take. So let
me kind of put this into perspective for the listeners. I know this from personal experience. So when I won the first ever time on Force on Force on the bass side, we were making a 45 minute run one way on Toledo Bend. And so I know the pressure that puts on you when you're making a 45 minute run and you get down there and the fish don't bite exactly when you first get there, and the wheels start turning. So I just kind of, for the audience to kind of, you know, understand the thought process, because that's a big decision that goes in there. Do you make that decision to run? And do you, if you don't and you lose, you kind of second guess yourself. Fortunately for you guys, in a unique situation, you get a kind of a second chance to go back and kind of redeem yourself. So, and then you kind of find out this information. I mean, I didn't get a bite the first 30 minutes. I mean, we make this 45 minute run and I don't get a bite for the first 30 minutes. And you're like, oh my gosh, we made a horrible mistake. And then it just like turned on and they had just moved further back and I proceeded to catch them. But it's easy for the wheels to start spinning out of control because you only have 4 hours. You know, 4 hours goes by really, really quick when you're spending almost a full half of that time running, you know, and so it really comes into play.
Oh yeah. No, definitely. Like I said, we I thought about it because I know that I had fished down there the week before, and I was like, I know there's fish down there, but I mean, man, it's a gamble. And it was, yeah, I'm glad we didn't go after talking to one of the other teams that said, now we went down there and nothing. So that one paid off. But yeah, that was just something that I had to make a decision. I know Rick was like, where are we going? Where are we going? And I know the Big Flat was safe. Most of the other boats were ended up fishing in that area. And so, you know, they did well, but yeah, that was just playing it safe. Like, hey, I know there's fish here. We're just going to have to grind. And that's what we did. We just kept going.
Yep. Yep. And I misspoke. There was four rounds. You had the eight, and then you went down to four boats, and then you went down to the championship round. So there's three rounds. Rick, talk us through round two, and then we'll kind of collaborate on the championship round, because I know, talk about head spinning.
Oh, it was crazy. You know, we, like Mino said, we went from last to first. And that second round, after we got kicked out, we're like, what the heck do we do? What colors do we throw? Because we were catching trout like crazy. And I mean, we were catching nice trout. We were hunting for the red. And we put one in the boat, and that was enough to push us on. Because the other team that we fished against in that round didn't bring in any fish. So that one fish was able to put us through the round, but man, we were hunting for what to throw. They weren't biting like we wanted to. You know, we tried every color, we tried every lure, we tried everything. You know, we got that one in, and it's like, okay, thank you. Let's hope that this pushes us on to the next round. And we got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who dropped fish in the second round?
Against Michael?
That's right. So it's
Mike and Justin.
Yeah. Mike and Justin. So yeah, I was correct the first time.
And I think Rick on the second round we ended up with two fish.
Did we?
Yeah. So you fished Mike and Justin on the first round, and then the second round I believe you fished against Everett and Cole correct. In the second round, and y'all had two fish. Yeah. Obviously, that as the host of the show, I'm always asking before I'm asking camera guys to relay information. Hey, is there a fish brought in? I mean, nobody wants to blank, but in a 4-hour time span, that can be the nature of the beast pretty easy.
Yeah.
I like to mess with all the bass guys all the time. Our fish aren't trapped in a little pond, you know. our fish can go out in the ocean and disappear into another state.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. You should ask the bass guys. They think they can disappear sometimes too in 4 hours.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. But yeah, that was both those rounds. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Danny put it in perspective on the show. He says, welcome to tournament fishing. And I tell you what, I was wore out.
Yeah.
Yep. I was plum tucker.
Yeah. There's days where we fish, you know, 9-10 hours in the summertime for the PRL. You fish 9 hours, you're on your feet that long. You make an hour run one way and you still got an hour run back. You talk about a grind, and then you got to get up and do it all over again day two. It's a lot of work.
And we'll kind of let the listeners know, like, we make it look pretty cool on the show that we do this over like a 7-8 day period, but we really do this over about 2 days.
It's fast in a hurry.
It's fast in a hurry, and it wears everybody out. I mean, it's really cool how fast we do it. It really goes back to everybody's military background and being able to keep timelines. But if you win the thing, you're going to be worn out when you get done, because you're going and you're constantly having your brain is constantly making decisions, and you're just trying to, you know, think through the process, and you got to keep going back time and time again.
Oh yeah. No, it was, I mean, we came in and like, all right, you guys lost, get something to eat. You're going back out. I'm like, oh no. Just enough time to scarf something down, and then you're heading back out. But yeah, I mean, obviously it worked. Like, it's like Rick was saying, that the next round we got two, and then we got two again, and then we ended up in the championship round. I was like, oh, we made it.
Right. Yeah.
So let's move over to that. Let's move over to the championship round, because that was a very interesting round. Again, there was a lot of stuff that wasn't shown. For instance, the Marine team, the Marine One team, they were in my boat, and their dang lithium battery died. The lithium died. At the time, you know, we didn't have the great sponsor that, you know, we didn't have the batteries in from our sponsors to get it swapped out in time. But he had a lithium battery die. So now he's stuck with a trolling motor down because it's auto deploy, auto stow, just nature of the beast in those tower boats. And he calls me and he's like, hey, this trolling motor's down and the battery's dead. What can I do? And I said, well, push it over here real slow on a big motor and then we'll figure it out. I got him, you know, there's tricks around all that. We got it stowed and then they were back off to the races, but they didn't have a trolling motor. But that's just something that was left out of the show. And then I'm sure you guys had something crazy happen, if not once or twice.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had a couple of things. When I saw the last episode, I was like, man, they're going to show all the fish that I missed. I mean, I missed some. Rick missed some. One went behind the boat, hit the poles, went under the back side of the boat by the power pole. And I'm trying to get that thing out. And I mean, it was crazy. But yeah, then Rick and I were kind of like at each other. I mean, we were tired. We were frustrated, exhausted, drained. I mean, mentally, physically. And we're just kind of, you could hear us kind of just like going back and forth, just being real short and arguing and snippy. And it was like, man, this is how it is. Like, this is tournament fishing. You spend that much time with somebody on the boat. And, you know, the whole time while we're talking, I'm like, you know, I'm just glad I'm here. But like, you know what? No, we made it. Let's go for it. And we just kept going. And that kind of just pushed us even harder. I know Rick, as the thing was going off, and I'm like, let's get it. Come on, Rick, get back in the game. And so he did. He had his lifesavers or whatever it was, Skittles, and got back in the game. And, you know, it was a grind. And you see the end of the show where they announced the winner. Yeah, I from just being emotionally drained, physically, everything, I kind of just like lost it. I teared up a little bit. I was just like, oh my gosh, it's finally over. Like all of this to find out that, hey, it wasn't for nothing. You know, we came out on top. And yeah, all these emotions just come rushing through. And so it was a great opportunity, great partner, and surprise. You know, he didn't push me in the water. I didn't push him in the water.
Yeah, Sean, what he's talking about with the alarms going off, I'm a diabetic.
Okay.
The reason I processed out of the Coast Guard, and I wear sensors that tells me where my blood sugar is. Right. And right in the middle of fishing, I'm getting alerts. Beep, beep, beep. It's like, oh no, that's all I need. You know, yeah. So that was thrown in the mix there too.
You've always got something that takes place. I mean, I go back, like I said, I was telling you guys about my first experience. I mean, on the championship round on the season four, when I won, back then the Skeeter boats had dual fuel tanks on them. And just like back then, me and Jeff Campbell were actually two task force members. We didn't have a pro at all, and the boat was, we weren't very familiar with the boat and didn't flip the fuel gauge or flip the switch to transfer the tanks. Halfway making the run to in the afternoon from the championship round, it shuts down, and we're on the middle of Toledo Bend, and it's bouncing up in 3-foot swells. And we got Gold Star kids when we're doing this. The first time I won it, and I'm on the back deck of a bass boat with my feet hanging out in the water. Because back then, the way the Skeeter I-class was, you couldn't get to the bulb to, because once it runs dry, you got to squeeze that bulb to get it primed back up. And I'm trying to reach under there and feel for that bulb to figure out where it's at. And I'm like thinking, we're gonna lose because we ran out of gas and didn't know to change the fuel tank over, right? And it, you know, all these emotions are racing through your mind at that particular point, and you're like, oh my gosh, something stupid like that's gonna happen. And you know, from where it's, you know, losing the fish around the power pole, or that, you know, your diabetic alarms going off, and it's all about how you persevere. I mean, at least you weren't like the Marine team guys and go to measure a fish on the deck of the boat and lose it over the guttles. I mean, that's why we're all talking about all this. I mean, that's why we brought those guys on in the last podcast to go back. I mean, when we talk about things, I mean, when we really look at, like, you guys had adversity, those guys had adversity, but that's what came down to be the difference in the championship, was that fish. Because a lot of times we have to go back and look at the previous round when there's a tie, and that fish, you know, poor execution, because it's about how you execute on the water. And it's just like we do in the military, how we execute in the military. the people, when you execute, you know, better than somebody else out there, you come out on top and do the little things right. And they didn't do the little things right. I mean, I don't care whether it's bass fishing, red fishing, you never measure a fish up on the top of the boat. No. Never, ever. That's a big no-no, right? You do not.
That's probably the biggest fish the whole thing, too.
Yeah.
They couldn't hang on to it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so when you look at it from that perspective, just to see you guys persevere through all that and the emotion of when it's all said and done. I mean, we were filming the bass show a couple weeks ago, and the camera guys, we were sitting at the restaurant, and Matt was talking to the other camera guys, and he was talking about how they were doing a look back last year, and he was making fun of me the first time I won, and I grabbed that trophy, and I just like went crazy. And you know, I mean, because it's just all that emotions that comes with it, you know. And so I can, you know, when you talk about their Mino, how it kind of felt, you know, from that perspective, you know. Yeah.
Well, and it goes a little further. Like, I fish with these guys a lot of times. They're always harping on me, man. It's every time through our message threads and just all the time in person. I'm like, oh my gosh, they have other people messing with me. And it's always like, so this felt good. To say, hey guys, you know what? Yeah, I got it. Where's your ring? You know, it's kind of just throw it in their face now. Cause I mean, I went against the guys that are on our team. Obviously we fish all the time together, and it's just finally, it's something I can hold over their head now. Like I said, it's the first one. And so, hey guys, you know, I got it.
Yeah.
that had a lot to do with the emotion too. Just like, hey, finally get to show them, hey, I did it, you know. And you know, we always joke around. Well, I joke around with the other guys, Michael, like, well, you know, hey, you know, everybody lost. I'm like, I know we did, but we got a second chance to come in and capitalize. And like you said, we put things together and it just started to fall into place. And we had a couple hiccups, a couple speed bumps, get right back up and then just try to go. So it was quite an experience. And, you know, I can't wait to do it again. I can't. It's awesome.
Yep. Well, the good news is champions are coming back for season 2, obviously to collect your rings, but more importantly to see if you can hold it down for one more time. So we'll see what's the rings that you guys are getting they're literally still in the design. Like, the design phase is done, right? Now he's working on the casting and molding. Like, they are freaking badass rings. One of a kind. You guys got the season 1 rings. They're awesome. Like, everybody's definitely going to be gunning real hard for you guys next year, because it's everybody's going to want one of these.
Yeah, it's man, it's easy to go in and fish when you're doing the hunting, but when you're the hunted and got that target on your back, it's a whole different deal. So you're gonna feel a lot different when everybody's coming after you, you know.
It's funny because there's guys fishing now, like, they're looking for fish now. And I'm sure, you know, you're doing the same thing. But there's a lot of guys that are saying, hey, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, and I'm going to know where these fish are at. So we'll see what happens. There's going to be some more captains that come in too that are sticks. So
I always say this. What I always have the funnest is, I think more people get mad, like, because Cole Brewer and I have had a pretty good battles on the bass side back and forth over the years. And I think more people get more upset when Cole and I don't fish, because they get more enjoyment out of beating us. Right. You know, if they can say they beat me or they beat Cole, they feel like, you know, cause Cole has gone on to be a 2-time champion, and they can say that they beat us. And so that's what they're going to be doing for you, Rick and Mino. They're going to be like, I beat the champion. Cause that's, they want to be the one that said they took down the dragon, you know? And so that was cause the first time I won, I remember saying, you know, I drew the defending champions in the first round. And I was like, that's the way I want it. If we win it, I wanted to be the one who, I didn't want it to be any question. I wanted to go out there and beat the champions, you know, the first round, and not leave any questions about it. And so they're going to be people coming for you. I'm going to tell you right now, man, they're going to be like, hey, I want what you got. And that changes the whole dynamic, you know, when you're looking over your shoulder.
I can imagine. I'm just like, oh my gosh. But you know, it's season 1's done. And I'm like, we we've been pushing it out. I know Danny said somebody recognized this. Somebody saw it. I was wearing my Navy Redfish Anglers jersey. Somebody said, "Hey, did you guys have a show on TV?" I'm like, "Yeah." So like, and that's only season one. Our community has really supported us. I work at a school down here. My school has done, you know, social media posts, and they've been promoting us and, "Hey, check out the channel." And, you know, and so it's crazy. I mean, sky's the limit. I mean, we just got to keep promoting and it's all for a good cause. Like I said, we help our nonprofits and bring light to what a lot of veterans are going through. And then just, "Hey, this is a great organization to be a part of." And so just having people start recognizing you and having just feel like a little celebrity here locally, it just, I mean, it makes it all worth it too.
Yep.
Yes.
Speaking on the nonprofit side of things, like our Rockport nonprofit Objective 22, they're getting hammered by phone calls now. Vets reaching out. Now it's a matter of they're getting a lot of support from the local community. Now it's working on getting those bigger sponsors for that organization, the bigger dollars coming in, so that way they can get more vets on the water themselves. They've got people all over the country. Like, talk about reach with the show. They've got people literally all over the country reaching out and saying, "Hey, we saw you on Sportsman's Channel. We saw you on World Fishing Network." That's nuts. And that organization is tiny. And, you know, of course, there's more organizations within there. Heroes in the Water, they're nationwide. Weekend Warrior Texas, they're just in Texas, but they fly people from all over the country in. And then season two, we're introducing another nonprofit, which you guys will see what's up with that. It's going to be really cool. Season two itself is going to be really cool. Working with, see where it's going to be. Hopefully we can maintain Market 37. They were outstanding at hosting everything for us and setting us up.
Food was amazing.
Suits up. Yeah. Food was, yeah. They did it up on the food. But yeah, we'll see what's going on. We'll try and get season two lined out sooner rather than later. So that way when September comes, because that's the time frame we're looking at getting everything done, is September. We're going to push it back a little bit, so that way we're not on a holiday weekend. And there's not 9,000 boats on the water, but push it back a couple weeks and see if we can't get after it and make it happen.
Yeah, well, it'll be exciting. So, Danny, where are you guys getting ready to go with your guys' schedule? So people want to come out and see.
Yep, two events. So Crawfish Fest in Rockport is one of them. That thing is massive. Last year it was so big, they couldn't take any more vendors. So this year they expanded location, but we'll be there first. And Oyster Fest in Rockport Fulton area as well. So that event's always massive for the community. What's good about going to Rockport, A, is they know everything about Objective 22. So it allows us to push our other mission with the other nonprofits into that location too.
Yeah, that's good. We're back this weekend in Indianapolis, wrapping up our 8-day show up there with the Indianapolis Boat Sport and Travel Show up there. It's the hunting side comes in this weekend. So it's going to be a continuation of a good deal. We're actually giving away an HDS Pro 16 up there and a bona fide kayak to support our nonprofits. So it's really cool stuff going on up there. And then we take off. It's just back to back for us. We're to the Backwoods Show in Oklahoma, and then we're going to go film the new Hog Show. So that's going to be pretty exciting. That's going to be a cool deal for us. So we're doing all kind of cool things. Love doing these podcasts and getting to talk some of the background stories of kind of how all this stuff comes together and bring on different members from the organization, whether it's the bass, the buck, redfish, you know, hog. It's really cool, because I think that's, you know, sharing a little bit different perspective of everybody. So I think that's really, really cool that we're getting out there and hearing. I mean, it's really cool. I mean, we've had people from Brazil listen to us, in Germany, different places like that. So it's really cool to see some of the stats on this. So, you know, really appreciate everything. Thanks, Mino, Rick, for being on with us. And Danny, always appreciate it. Hey, guys, if you want to know more about Army Buck, Bass, Hog, Duck, or Redfish, go to ForceOnForceTV.com. And thanks for joining the show. Cool?
Thanks for listening to the Force On Cast. Join us next time as we dive into more topics from the Force on Force Talk. For more information or to learn how to join the organization, visit our website at ForceOnForceTV.com.